Come on, baby. What do you want me to do?
Left, left, right.
Left, left, right. Come on.
Hello, I'm Jane Hill, and this is The Truth About Parkinson's on the BBC World Service.
And this is why we love boxing. It's the sound.
I've come to a big gym in the town of Huizen in the Netherlands to see a boxing class, which is run entirely by people with Parkinson's for people with Parkinson's. And it's only been up and running properly for a few months, and it's already extremely popular.
PD, for short, is the fastest growing neurodegenerative condition in the world. More than 6 million people are living with it today. It affects their movement and balance, speech and facial expressions, and causes non-motor symptoms too, including constipation and depression. There's no cure for Parkinson's, but people can live with it for decades. My dad did, and so did his brother. The condition is managed through a combination of drugs, which can have considerable side effects. But now there's increasing evidence that there's another medicine, which has only positive consequences. Exercise.
Right, today we're going to target our posture problem, which is very important when you have Parkinson's. You tend to bend over, kyphotic posture, and we're trying to work on that by doing power exercises, training our core.
Mariette Rebane started this class with a friend who also has Parkinson's. They both found that vigorous exercise was making them feel better, physically and mentally, and they wanted to pass that on to other people in the Amsterdam area living with PD. They trained as instructors through the Rocksteady Boxing Organisation, which was started in the US specifically to help people with Parkinson's.
They've been doing research into Rocksteady Boxing. They've found that you have to stick by it. You have to keep doing it twice a week, preferably three times a week, and then you will reap the benefits after so many weeks. You have to keep doing it, but your benefit will last. Say you've been boxing for 6 months and you'd stop for some reason, the benefit will last for a few more months. But with everything, you have to stick by it.
It's fascinating, though. The benefits are there. It's tangible.
It's tangible. Yes. It's visible.
And what do your doctors say when you tell them you're doing this and you've set up these classes?
Initially, my doctor said, But then the research has shown that boxing targets basically all Parkinson's symptoms: rigidity, bradykinesia, posture, gait. And boxing is a whole body workout and a whole brain workout. And I like it.
It's a huge confidence boost.
Absolutely. We're going to add in the agility ladder. So two groups, one group there, one group here. So follow me. This is also a cognitive thing, because you have to think two back, one fourth, and you constantly have to think about feet, brain. So two, okay. These exercises are always part of the warming up, because walking and gait is an ongoing problem when you have Parkinson's. Two boxers helping each other, putting on the gloves. For most people, it's the first time in their lives putting on boxing gloves anyways. So that's a fun, yeah. All right. Water drinken. We always forget to drink water.
It's so fascinating for me watching this boxing class. I can't help but think of my dad. And I so recognise that walk, the slight difficulty in walking, the slight slowness, stiffness. It's like looking at my dad. I remember that so vividly. And yet, now they've been through the warm-up and they're into the full-on boxing stage of this class. I watch some of these men in particular really whacking with all their strength these huge boxing bags hanging from the ceiling. And it's like looking at someone who is already in the space of, 10-15 minutes, so different from when they walked into the class. And I think, my goodness, what if someone had said to my dad, go and try boxing, go and try some really vigorous physical exercise. I don't know whether he would have done it, but I watch, and in such a short space of time, these people seem to have such a strength, physical and mental, really, using coordination, using core strength, using upper body strength. And you simply wouldn't know, particularly with a couple of them, that they have Parkinson's. You wouldn't know that looking at them. And yet when they walked in the room 15 minutes ago, I could identify the condition they were living with because it's something I'm so familiar with. And so many of them have a smile on their face. And that's so lovely. And again, with my dad, I remember it becomes sometimes difficult to smile. We know that for people with Parkinson's, especially later on in the disease. And there's a feeling of collaboration, I think, which is really lovely.
It's plain to see what the men and women in this class gain from it. Increased strength and flexibility and companionship. But how much evidence is there about the long-term benefits of exercise? Dr. Lisa Shulman is a professor of neurology and director of the Parkinson Centre at the University of Maryland. She says she's been encouraging her PD patients to exercise for the last 25 years.
I believe strongly in patient empowerment, and I think it's extremely important when people have a chronic progressive condition like Parkinson's disease that they embrace their important role in directing their care. The other important reason is that there was basic science that really supported this. Certainly, we're not able to stop the progression, but what we can see is the exercise group and the non-exercise groups diverge in terms of their progression.
As in, the progression can be slowed? Is that what you're saying?
So at this point in time, we can make some definitive statements about delaying disability and delaying gait impairment and delaying loss of endurance or strength. But we can say little about the actual change in the underlying pathology of the disease.
And perhaps we should be clear about what sort of exercise. I mean, what are you encouraging people to do? How formal does this have to be?
Now, we have surely over 200 different studies that have been done. If you look at all those papers, you see a general message. Most of the trials using a whole range of different kinds of exercise interventions, you see some improvements with each. And different trials have looked at, as I have, treadmill. I've also looked at muscle strength. But other trials have looked at things like cycling, dancing, boxing, tai chi. There are trials in virtually most activities you're going to be able to consider.
And some of those are so interesting because one of the many impacts of the disease can be on balance, on strength. I mean, I've seen this in my own family, and the notion that you could have perhaps said to my dad, you know, try some boxing, David. I mean, I don't know whether he'd have laughed or cried. I'm interested in the sort of reactions that you get from patients when you suggest that this could really benefit them.
In the US, boxing is having a bit of a phenomenal rise for Parkinson's disease. And it has really grabbed the imagination of our patients. And my own take after seeing quite a bit of this, and I've watched some of the lessons that they go through, is how counter this is to the routine impression of Parkinson's disease, where the world might view a person with Parkinson's disease as being weak and frail and diminished. And boxing is the extreme opposite.
In the Netherlands, Wim Rosenberg, who started the class with his friend Mariette, embodies what Professor Shulman is talking about. Tall and broad, with a warm smile, Wim's eager to tell me about the difference that boxing has made to him in the 3 years he's been doing it.
I'm getting stronger, yes.
Even stronger.
From boxing. My left arm was quite minor. I'm left-handed. By the boxing, the strength comes returned.
Parkinson's brings many varied physical complications. My uncle had what many consider the classic symptom, the uncontrollable shaking that makes even holding a cup of tea a challenge. My dad didn't shake, but he would freeze out of the blue. Crossing a road could be hazardous. But Wim says any exercise can be adapted to someone's abilities.
As you can see, this is a high-level class. We have also one person with freezing, so we have to put a corner man on his side. So when he gets falling, catch him. and we modified the action. So if you can see with Tineke, she can do the crunches and then do the boxing.
Lots of people without Parkinson's can't do crunches.
Okay. Yeah,
She was doing jolly well, but your point is you can adapt.
You can, yeah, modify
every exercise.
But also more difficult.
To encourage them to...
Yes, and it's tough love. Huh?
Tough love. Yes. Yes, it seems to be working well.
Yes.
And you must have people come who've never boxed in their life.
Never do sport in their life. That's correct. But they put their gloves on and they get the twinkle in their eyes. It's so nice to see.
What I realized pretty early on was I could hold back the progression of the disease if I took on a regimen of exercise.
That's great.
That was really special to these problems.
You may recognize that voice, the American actor Alan Alda, who's lived with Parkinson's for several years. On his podcast, Clear and Vivid, he chatted to fellow actor Michael J. Fox, who was diagnosed when he was only 29. Both men make exercise an integral part of their daily routine.
We both box.
Yeah, yeah. I love boxing. It's not really boxing. I don't get hit.
Yeah, that's part of it.
I've always avoided that. And I march to Sousa music.
I do that in my head. When I walk down a hallway, I'll go, dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. I sing it when I'm walking on the street. I hum to myself and march in time. It really helps.
Yeah.
I make up my own version of Tai Chi. This morning I was doing vocal exercise. If I don't vocalize, I lose my voice completely. So I vocalize twice a day. So I wouldn't waste any time while I'm doing it.
Well, I don't do what I think. I do the things I do, exercise or managing my meds correctly or getting the correct amount of rest or doing the things I need to do.
Yeah.
But I don't do them so tomorrow is better. I do them so today is good.
And you can find a link to that podcast, Clear and Vivid, on the Truth About Parkinson's page on the BBC website.
What's amazing is that I think your dad dying 8 years ago, he missed out on the big changes that are happening in the way the attitudes have changed, because I think it was all about the medication.
Yes.
And we weren't spending enough time thinking about all the other things that can help. And what's particularly impressive about the other things that can help, they're things that we can do for ourselves.
Paul Mayhew Archer is the writer and editor of numerous British TV and radio comedies. His diagnosis 8 years ago prompted him to pen his own stand-up comedy routine, much of it about life with Parkinson's, which he tours across the UK. We chatted before a sold-out show in the city of Bath, by chance the town in the English West Country where my father grew up.
So in my case, it's making jokes and having fun with it. And then there are people who find that dancing helps them enormously.
And you dance, don't you?
Well, you say dance. I move and there's music playing. I'm not still... But yes, I do ballet for Parkinson's. What I love about it is... When I went to my first local group with Parkinson's, I was told, go to the group because there'll be chocolate biscuits at the end. I love chocolate. Well, as it turned out, the first meeting I went to, the professor talked for 45 minutes about mitochondria, and I didn't understand any of it. And I thought, I can't come here again until I've got a PhD in science. But when I went to the ballet, it was fantastic, because ballet is actually, they talk in terms that I understand. First position, second position. It's not about chemicals or, brain things. The atmosphere in the class seemed to be, we're all going to have fun together.
So you do it as much for the social experience as for the physical movement?
Yes, I think we all do it for the social experience.
Hi, Alan, it's Pete. Oh, thank you.
Someone else who thinks the social side of exercise is as important as the physical is Alan Ferret. I meet him in his flat in a London mansion block, while I'm accompanying specialist Parkinson's nurse Pete Smith on his rounds. Alan has lived with PD for more than 15 years. He says he's adapted his approach as the disease has progressed. He tries to tackle both its physical symptoms and the non-motor ones, which can get overlooked.
Members only, your doormat says. Are we allowed in? Hello, Alan. Jane Hill, really lovely to meet you.
I do a breathing exercise tape, which lasts about 18, 20 minutes, and I do that. And I find when I've sat down, relaxed, and done the deep breathing, I feel much better after. And mindfulness is very good as well.
And for a while, I can remember quite recently we were talking, you were finding your Parkinson's is unstable, isn't it? You fluctuate.
Oh, definitely.
Quite a lot, yeah. And the fluctuations, you were saying, when the Parkinson's is worse, it was making you feel quite depressed, wasn't it? You're quite
low. Oh, yes.
Quite low.
You'll find that most Parkinson's PD sufferers usually suffer from some form of depression.
My dad definitely did as well, and it's hard to know where one begins and the other ends as well, isn't it? Mm. It's very difficult. But being sociable and liking to spend time with people, I think that has to be a positive, doesn't it?
Oh, it's a very positive thing. I do as many active things. I'm very fortunate. I go to the Dance for Parkinson's, the English National Ballet, and I do a ballet class every week along with about 30 other people.
Oh, how fantastic. And does that really help?
I was also very fortunate to be on the trial of that. And it is clinically proven now that Parkinson's benefits from ballet.
And does it help you because it forces you to concentrate on balance? Because someone who doesn't know much about the disease would think that's counterintuitive. How can you perform ballet when you have a condition like this? But how, in what ways is it helping you?
Well, the very fact that one's in the room with everyone else in the same condition, you don't feel self-conscious, and that's a key thing.
But not everyone with PD feels comfortable enough to try exercise. Scientists believe Parkinson's is underdiagnosed across Africa, as we heard in episode 1 of The Truth About Parkinson's on the BBC World Service. For many years, it was thought there was a lower incidence of the condition in people of African origin, but researchers now believe that's unlikely to be the case. Sheila Clufio is a physiotherapist at Kulebu Teaching Hospital in Accra. She says she has a lot of work to do with her patients because PD is often diagnosed late.
We tailor the treatment according to what the patient presents with. So, for instance, like your dad, when he was freezing a lot of times, we use something we call the audio feedback. So we use the audio feedback to prompt them to move, because for the Parkinson's disease, you would freeze if probably the brain is not getting any feedback from you. So we try to get them something we call the metronome for them to use. So for the metronome, gives them a click sound probably every minute, every 2 minutes, so that it helps them to move up and down. So if a Parkinson patient freezes, then they have the metronome to move up and down. So it tells you 1, 2, move, 1, 2, move, 1, 2, move. So I know 1, I'm moving my left leg, 2, I'm moving my right leg. So it just helps them to kind of count their steps as well. So it prevents the freezing. So that really works. So it's like they come in once, twice. So when we probably, they wouldn't be able to afford a metronome. So luckily we have the app that they can download on their phones to use as often as they want, and just to help you walk, especially when you are crossing the road. Very important.
But that's really interesting that technology can help as well, and can make it more affordable.
Exactly. So for someone who shakes a lot, we try to teach them coordination exercises, try to train the brain to help coordinate the movement that they have. You realize that when they are concentrating on something, the shaking reduces most of the time. And then we have those who have the postural instability. They have a problem with balance. And then balance and posture. So it's like, because the center of balance is moved forward, they easily fall over. So we teach them how to maintain their posture as much as possible. We keep them either by the wall or whatever that they have that is stationary and not moving. And then we teach them how to stand straight, how to stand tall, how to maintain the balance over a period of time.
We've heard Michael J. Fox and Alan Alder talking about visualising marching to aid their movement. Sheila says her patients are helped to do similarly.
Most of the time, when the patients with Parkinson are walking, they don't swing their arms at all. You have marching in your head every time. So it's like every time you are walking, you know you are marching. So you are swinging your arm, you are raising your leg up just to help you increase your stride length and then your stride width as well.
Do you monitor the work you do? Do you have any stats that show what a difference exercise can make?
Well, I would call it survey that we did. It changed their quality of life. It actually changed how they felt about themselves. It made them more confident to go out in public, made them more confident to communicate with others and tell other people about the condition. So they were kind of ambassadors in their areas as well to help people know about the condition.
But Sheila points out that most of her patients have to pay for treatment. It's another barrier to people in Ghana seeking medical help. Mariette in the Netherlands says she feels fortunate that treatment is readily available and affordable.
There's literally a PD specialist in almost every village.
That is remarkable.
And there's a PD neurologist in almost every hospital. And I go to the one that's only 4 kilometres, which is 10 minutes by car or bicycle from here. Our insurance, our healthcare insurance, is very well organised. Very expensive, but then everything is covered. This is where I exercises.
Mariette's commitment to exercise goes further than her boxing class.
When I was diagnosed, I bought this huge Harley Davidson type elliptical trainer.
So you can run on it, it's a cross trainer?
It's a cross trainer, you run on it. I think with Parkinson's, you think you have your arms stretched and you think you know where your arms or your hands are, but you don't.
So you've got double mirrors so that you can see your full arm span.
Yeah, because it's proprioceptive, it's not quite knowing where your hand or your feet are. It's getting a bit disturbed because of the messaging. It works because I see what I'm doing and I can correct myself.
But how sporty were you before?
I wasn't sporty at all. I was more sporty than I ever was.
The high-intensity exercise we've been hearing about, though, would be impossible for someone in the later stages of the disease. We've heard that getting active soon after diagnosis delays the loss of strength and endurance. So can it be too late to start? How much do we know about the benefit of gentler activities? Dr. Lisa Schulman has been involved in many research projects in this area. She compared the effects from a colleague's high-intensity trial to one that she carried out at the other end of the scale.
I think that part of the take-home message of comparing these two trials and the differing results is likely that higher intensity may be more important for earlier patients, whereas for patients who are more advanced and already have some functional decline, the good news is that they can achieve significant benefit from exercise that is lighter in intensity.
Advice given to patients will change over time, one imagines, then as the disease progresses.
I think that that's safe to say. For example, in our study, what we found was that amongst these more advanced patients, even walking on a treadmill at their own comfortable pace for 45 minutes was a very strong aerobic stimulus. In other words, it had a strong effect on their cardiovascular fitness. They weren't accustomed to walking that long duration at a comfortable pace, so they didn't have to do a lot to raise their heart rate.
I mean, there must be people who say, oh, this is so much to take in. The last thing I can think about is suddenly start going to the gym.
You know, we know that there are differences in the outcomes of people who are engaged and do take on the ownership of managing their health.
But what about those days when you just don't feel like it? You're not in the mood for the cross trainer or a ballet class. At her kitchen table, Mariette shows me the exercise dispenser that she's created.
I sort of invented an exercise dispenser with wooden little sticks resembling a pill, really. As soon as you have
it looks like a little pill box with seven compartments.
And on each wooden stick, I wrote down.
So that one says dancing.
Yeah, for example, on Tuesday, I will be. What does it say? Cross trainer, squash. I'm going to go squashing in the afternoon. on Thursday I'll be dancing. I won't be dancing, but it looked good. and boxing. So that means that you visualise, that's the word, your exercise need, like a pillbox.
And so is this about having an incentive, or do you stick to this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday pattern quite strictly?
I don't stick to it very strictly, but I do know that if I haven't done anything or not enough during the week, what happens then is that my Sunday box, because I can't throw exercise pills out, so my Sunday box, I'm now filling up the Sunday box, is going to be full to the brim. And on Sunday, I have to exercise for about 12 hours to make up for all the exercise I didn't do during the week.
And in his immaculate flat in London, Alan and Parkinson's nurse Pete reflect on how disciplined he is about keeping active even on the difficult days.
The most successful thing to help you with Parkinson's is exercise and getting that heart rate up and doing exercise every day, even if you're in a wheelchair or just living at home, just stretching, relaxing. More stretching, all sorts of. Every exercise is beneficial. Even just facial exercises stop your face dropping and getting that Parkinson's stare. All helps.
And are you quite strict about doing something every day?
Oh, yes. We have to.
Next week, we'll find out about the latest research and the future of treatment for Parkinson's. I'm Jane Hill, and the producer was Geraldine Fitzgerald.